Let us talk together now. Very simply, as men.
Dude, I don't know if there could be a more beautiful Sunday morning. You live in paradise.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like California. You drive away from the coast.
Yeah.
You get out here and it's what state am I in?
Yeah. Feels like Italy at times. Yeah. And you had so much rain. The grass is beautiful. Yeah. So anyway, you have a sweet place. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here. I've known about you for maybe for 6 months or so through Jordan Adams, who is my coach and your contemporary. Are you like childhood friends? I'm not sure how that goes.
Yeah, we grew up together.
Okay.
He was one of the first in Superhuman Fathers.
Oh, okay, cool.
Came to my firehouse and was like, hey, man, I need to step it up. And so at the time, I don't know, I maybe had 20 guys. And he was maybe, as far as once I was released to the public, he's maybe like my third transformation.
Cool.
And then he came to me and was like, hey, I want to like work with you. And I was like, bro, you need to build your own. So I gave him like a plan. And he's like, all right, well, what do I pay you? And I go, no, man, just go build this shit.
Just go do it. Dude, since we all edit this, just the profanity. I know it's your thing.
Oh, shoot.
I know it's your thing.
Well, okay. Like, all right. I'm going to try, bro.
Dude, I know. Just do your best. Be yourself. But like, right. It's. I know there's a lot of women that listen to this.
Yeah. This is a, it's. It really is a skill.
It is a skill. Tony Robbins, man. I respect that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a skill because it gets people out of their loops, right? You got to shock them. Is that the idea behind it?
Really, it's just me. And like, I've had this conversation with God multiple times. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
And he says, don't stop. You're reaching men that are unreachable. And so you speak their language.
I believe that.
And so that's where we're at. Having said that, there are certain places that will push people away. So I've wrestled with that because I'm like, I need to be authentic. Just filtered myself like four times.
Right, yeah, there. I know. I can see it.
But do we want to impact them to where they will hear or drive them away? Am I meant for a certain group of people, or am I meant to widen my message?
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure with that yet.
It is interesting because, like with Jordan had has the stoic aspect, which I previously loved. And so I immediately connected with him.
Yeah.
And so he was speaking my language, and there is some guys out there. And that's why like my podcast and other people's podcasts, I'll speak to a certain people who will understand my language.
Yeah.
And theirs will speak to theirs. So dude, I totally respect what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you do have a very unique Kyle Carnahan, like mountain of a man.
Yeah.
Get your,
it trips people out. I'll talk to guys that have no, even, there's not even the open window to God. And when I tell them about Jesus, I'll drop like 17 F-bombs telling the story.
Yeah.
And I watch their face drop and their eyes open and tears well up and they see. But it depends on like,
yeah, the person,
where people are at.
Dude, that's how Jesus was. He met the people where they were at. He didn't stay somewhere and they all, he yeah. walked around.
This is controversial too, because if you're raised in a real closed box of a Christian church, you're like, that can't be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, it is, because it's where I live. It's
yeah.
the craziest thing. And once I discovered that, I was like, this is a different God than I grew up with.
Okay, this is a whole topic that I'm now obsessed with, is rediscovering God. Because there's a study that says, and I've mentioned this on this podcast multiple times, that we as children perceive God as our earthly father, right?
Yeah.
His attributes, his sense of justice, morality, honesty, like we make that our God. And so to rediscover the true God, the one that's speaking to us daily,
yeah,
is a big deal. It sounds like you've gone through this.
Yeah, I'm going through it right now. And then going through the Old Testament stories and things where I'm like, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
Seems to go against his own words.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, like, we try to tell God who he is. We try to put him in this controlled little box of what he can or can't do or can and can't say. And I'm realizing that will hold you back from living your purpose.
I totally agree. I want to tell you one thing, and I want to let you free on this. I've been wrestling with that type of thing where, oh, this truth, God said this at one time, and then this was, then he said something different. And I was talking to my buddy, and he's really smart. And he pulled out a book, and the book is called Who is Truth? With what crossed out? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the scriptures, like Christ says, I am the truth, not the law. So if we look at universal law and decide that God has to fit in that, what we've observed, God can tell
when creating laws for God.
Exactly. And what it means is that means that God has to love us. Whereas if God is truth, he chooses to love us. And that is much more powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is truth? God is truth.
In our brokenness.
Especially in our brokenness, right?
The first ingredient to power.
Okay, tell me about that.
I've been finding myself in this place in and out of seeing and not seeing and not seeing, sometimes throughout the day, where like my heart is welling up and I am almost physically tense and I can feel this drive to go. Like, almost painfully, but also the most pleasurable experience of my life. Like, broken and powerful, completely unworthy, feeling like just absolute screwing everything up, and yet ultimately powerful and grateful at the same time. Angry, but calm and clear, like clear on my path. And then I just want to sit in it. This is it. Like, this right here, I got to keep this. And then 10 minutes later, I don't care anymore. Or I care less. Mm-hmm. There's like a range. So I'm like, I've been comparing it to a raging, unquenchable forest fire and then a campfire. Now, some people have no fire.
Yeah.
That's a big problem, because your campfire might to them feel like an unquenchable, raging forest fire. Just depends where you're at. Mm-hmm. But once you see more clear, and you feel that power more, your expectations rise of how you need to show up. So like my life, if someone were to watch it from the outside, it'll make their head spin, the amount of work I do to press forward the movement. But in my heart, I know that I'm holding myself back still, and God rebukes me. But it's not a painful rebuke. I love when God rebukes me. That feeling is my favorite feeling in the world.
What does it feel like to you?
It starts right here, right in my chest. And it like works its way up. And it's an overwhelm. And then my hair stands on end. Mm-hmm. And I can see. I have visions. I can see the future of where I'm supposed to go, who I'm supposed to be. And I care. Like, there's a love and an understanding of what's at stake. So heavy and so clear.
What specifically are you caring about?
This is what I'm trying to figure out.
It's obviously men, right?
It is men. It's men. Is it the pain that the men are in? Because there's a piece of that. Because there's the brokenness of man. And they're stuck in this brokenness, not knowing that's the first ingredient to their power. Brokenness will take a man and drive him to alcohol. It'll drive him to abusing his family. It'll drive him to abusing himself and ultimately to kill himself.
Yeah.
But without the brokenness, you won't be brought to your knees and you won't take action. And so there's this place where a man has to decide, will I have faith and move, or will I sit here and die? And then once he decides to move, because for me, it was movement before God. I moved first without God. And then when I was moving at a rapid pace, my brokenness brought me to my knees and I looked up. That's when I was filled with fire. And so there's these ingredients to find this place of clarity and understanding and fire. But it starts with brokenness, the same brokenness that destroys man. And as we're speaking, I'm trying to figure this out. My purpose right now, probably the most important thing I'm working on, is trying to stay in that place of clarity and fire as much as possible. Mm. Place of power, the magic place, I call it. Because when I'm in that place, I'm ultimately creative. I have the most impact on people. I show up for my family the way that I feel like I need to. My business flourishes. I create moments of transformation for every single human that I talk to. And then when I lose it, I'm less impactful. And then God rebukes me. But that breaks me too and humbles me, because I'm like, God, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to fall asleep. Why do I keep falling asleep? And he's like, I need you to wake up. But it's him rebuking me that wakes me up. The rebuking is a gift. So I don't feel, this is the hard part. I do feel shame about it, but it's like, he then takes the shame, which is the brokenness, and then adds his fire. Mm-hmm. And then that turns into the most powerful, pleasurable feeling I've ever had in my life. Now, in my writings, God spoke to me and said, listen, it doesn't matter how you feel. The feeling is your decision to go there. But if I've called you to move forward, I just need you to move forward.
Yeah.
Even in those moments of darkness where you're not clear, like just move. And I'm trying to figure out, does he take it away and leave us in the dark so that we can learn? Or is this just the process of learning? And is it me that pulls away from that fire?
Dude, I just recorded a video on this. These are my thoughts, okay?
Yeah.
Do you remember Christ on the cross? One of the last things he says. He says, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten me? If the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, suffering unjustly, has to feel separation from God, how much more do we? I think that's the point.
Yeah.
Is when he steps away or our ego pulls us away from him, it's like you saying, we're broken. What's the next step? Do we sin? Do we go into numbing or do we follow Christ? There's this cool idea. I interviewed this other guy. He said, the definition of sin is any time that we don't go with Christ into our pain, like into it, letting him guide us into it.
Yeah.
So I have this visual of a cave. It says my pain on the cave and Christ is welcoming me down into it. And anytime I go out and around, whatever vice that is, whatever we're doing, that's sin. And so it takes so much courage. That's why I'm so grateful for people like you to be vulnerable, to be bombastic, to be bold, to help people go into the pain, to go into the abyss, to the bottom. Because that's movement. That's what God, that's the only place he can take us.
When I'm in that place of clarity, there's like I almost just want to open my arms. And there's a willingness. I'm opened up to go into whatever darkness and death and pain and loss and humiliation is required.
You have trust in this now, though.
Yeah.
Speak to the guy who doesn't have trust in this.
That's the guy that drinks. That's the guy that.
That's what I'm saying.
Freaks out, abuses his family. Yeah. That's the guy that has the gnarliest negative self-talk.
Yeah.
That's the guy that goes to laziness instead of, this is the guy who runs to food, skips the gym, sleeps in, doesn't have regimen or systems, won't do the necessary mental work to prepare himself.
What do you want to tell him about getting to that place of trust of being okay with being broken?
Look at me. Look at my life.
There you go.
Look at my family. Look at my wife. Look at my children. Look at my business. Look at all the men that follow me and the changes they've had.
Amen.
That's it. Like, I've been where you're at. And then I've also dragged hundreds from the pits of darkness out with this concept.
Yeah.
Open your arms. I surrender. That's it. I surrender. I hated God for the longest time. So angry at him. I saw him let children die. I saw men blow their faces off and watch them slowly bleed out while I tried to intubate their face and find the hole in their face. Like, I saw terrible child abuse, brokenness. And then I realized, like, God sees the physical body completely different than we do. It's a machine. Blood is oil.
Cool.
Pain is a gift. The brokenness, the pain, the fear, it's what brings us to our knees and makes us seek him. And if finding him is everything, then anything that brings us to our knees is a gift. I can't put this on him because I can't say what God feels, but it's almost amusing how we squirm when the machine gets broken.
Our bodies.
Yeah, yeah, where he's just a machine, my friend.
Dude, that is such a cool perspective. Blood is oil. The meaning we give pain is a fascinating topic, right? I watch my kids like get a scratch and it's like the end of the world.
Yeah.
I love families because I feel like that's how, it's a small microcosm of how we can view how God views us. We watch our kids do their things and we know we have more wisdom and so you can see the end, but seeing them squirm from pain. And then I love talking to my kids that pain is a message and it gives you a choice at that point.
Yeah. And we all have our breaking point. That's
true.
Like we all turn into little children at some level of pain.
Yeah.
And one of my obsessions is to raise that threshold because then I can ultimately be trusted and be more of a weapon for God, the more pain that I can see through. Because if I'm in a little bit of pain and I lose my sight, then I can't be used. If I run, again, back to those vices, I run away from God, like you're talking about going with him into the cave, like training's required for that. Like you have to do it consistently for a long time. That's why I love hard workouts. That's why I love to push my body until there's no more oxygen in the room and you're gasping for air, feeling like you're going to die. And can I think clearly? Because if I can think clearly in that place, I can actually go to that place of fire and clarity, even in my own physical pain. That'll transfer over to emotional pain as well. So when the pressure rises, build a multi-million dollar business in 2 years with everything on the line. Like, pain is required. Risk is required. Facing your deepest fears of the judgment of man is required. Pain is required for growth and creation. And in my opinion, that is our charge, our call to grow, to create, to expand, and then to bring others with us.
Dude, I love it. That's, yeah, I can see that's your mission. So the pain thing, how do you tell your men that pain is okay, aside from just saying pain's good, like how do you teach them to embrace, not run from the pain? What are some techniques, I guess?
In the beginning, I leverage the ego.
Okay.
So like a man wants to be a badass. Like he can't help it.
Like we do.
We want to win.
We want to be strong. We want to be protectors.
Yeah. So like I'll tie my ego to things that will help me move forward.
So you, I see. So you're leveraging the ego to let you enjoy pain.
Yeah. So like when you put winning behind being able to do harder things, I'm filtering 76 F-bombs right now. This is really good. Oh, this is the best I've ever done, bro.
Dude, thank you.
and then also, like, we've been taught as men to be stoic and tough. And the stoic word gets mixed around and has different meanings. The way I stoic right now is hide your feelings, which is, and to keep everything bottled up. And in a marriage, that's a massive problem for men. Massive. Like most women are so alone because their husbands will not open their hearts to them.
I'm so guilty of this. Yeah,
I was for years too. Years. And most couples we talk to, she is alone. She does not even know her husband because he's been taught to be so closed off. So for our men, we will turn the brain inside out and tie the ego to opening up and being vulnerable.
How do you do that? Because that seems so counterintuitive.
Because in my presence, I'm going to tell you, I don't know how to even say this without the way that I say it on your podcast. Don't be a bee and open up to your wife.
So you make them look weak for not opening up.
Because it is weakness.
It is weakness.
Fear.
It is.
It's opening up is what like an alpha man does. Like fearlessly. I will fearlessly expose myself to my wife. I will crucify myself in this conversation. Who's the ultimate alpha male?
Yeah.
What did he do?
Dude, he was hanging like this, wide open.
Forgive them for they know not what they do. Like he was ultimately vulnerable.
I love that.
So show the men that, and then in the you create a culture around that. So when you create a culture around that, when men are off on their own, they feel that like culture and group they're a part of, and they don't want to be the weak link.
No one does. I was talking to the same buddy who is Truth. He was actually my therapist for men. Now we're working on a book, so he had to stop being my therapist. He's a stud. And he was saying, we want nothing more than to be storming the beaches on Normandy and to do a good job and to be like protecting our brothers. There's nothing more that men want. We don't want to be the weak link on that.
Yep. And then you add in storming the beach on Normandy and then being in a foxhole with your brother and having a powerful connecting moment with him where you inspire him and he inspires you to move forward with purpose and vision.
Yeah.
Where like a man needs to know that his mission is God's mission. Like once you tie that spiritual meaning to what you're doing. So ego first.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you can tie a man's ego into getting him to move, that's pretty powerful. I did that for a while.
Yeah.
But it only goes so far and it can be manipulated. But then once you bring God into the mix and it's, hey, and then you commune and you're getting answers. Now it's, I am living God's purpose for my life. Now you don't need the ego anymore. And then here's the other weird thing. God's handing you all this power. So an egotistical man is terrified of that power because he's let it in before and burned everything down around him. So he's, I can't let that in, which again is part of this fear and stoicism that a man has, not in the concepts of stoicism, but in the way we're using the word right now. And so he doesn't let that power in. He says, no, I've let that in before. And like, I almost got divorced too much or I did. And yeah. I like, it was too much power because it strokes the ego. God's power strokes the ego. So how do you deal with that? So you have to take the ego and give it to him. You have to constantly give it to him every day. Give it all to him.
How do you give it to him every day?
Through writing, through prayer, through exposure, through truth. I'm not perfect. And so by me exposing my imperfection to you all the time and everyone around me, there's a thing in my head that's tell them the truth. And I'm like, eh. But then I won't look as cool.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And it's, no, you have to. And then when you expose your truth to other men, they now have permission to do the same to you. And you're free to commune.
Are you surprised by any stories now, any excuses? Like when you meet these men and are you surprised anymore? No. Is it all in the same vein?
Yeah, it's all the same. And it's cool when you do it for a while, you create your own value system. Mm-hmm. Around what works and what doesn't. So like you hear the same thing over and again. So like where things used to take me some time to work through, now like someone will say something and I'll be like, I'll know exactly the question to ask to just bring them right back around again, which is getting really fun because you have enough reps to where like we're pretty much all the same.
Yeah.
Even down to waking up early. I would wake up early, but I just get headaches. And you're like, bro. I think, I don't know, like in the last 10 years when I haven't had a headache from lack of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, but sleeping's good for you. And I'm like, maybe you're supposed to sleep. I don't know. But I got stuff to do, man. I'm on a mission. Like, and then then you just ease them into it. What time do you get up? They're like 9. I'm like, what time do you go to bed?
Yeah, sir.
I can't sleep at night. And I'm like, how long do you stay on your phone? They're like, 2 in the morning. And I'm like, oh, what would be your first step to going to bed early? Like, maybe leave my phone outside the room. I'm like, oh, it sounds like you just had a revelation. That's their first step. Mm-hmm. So like God just spoke to them. So now it's up to them to listen to that one thing. There's like a gate that's about to be open. And that's just one of could be thousands. Every man has a door that they have to open in order for the rest to be open to them. For a lot of guys, it's alcohol. Ton. Like you'll ask a guy, what's the one thing you need to stop doing? In their head, they're like drinking. Just comes right in their head. They know it.
They know.
And then you can see it on their face. They don't want to say it. So you just keep digging.
You already know what they're going to say.
You got to make them say it, though. They have to say it. And then you got to ask them, so what do you need to do? And then they'll kind of pussyfoot around that a little bit. And you just keep pressing them and see if they have the wherewithal to see it.
Do you ever get to the point where they won't say it? And obviously that's not a good client.
Right? Yeah, for sure. Like they'll get to that point and then that's when I'll melt their face, which is like the last of the tools.
Yeah.
But that works pretty good too. I used to just melt faces all the time right out the gates.
I would pull
out the freaking nuke. That was just how I rolled in my coaching. It was just nukes only. But now I'm learning. I got more weapons.
That's cool. You're more wise.
Yeah.
Dude, experience. Yeah. It's inevitable. Yeah. Okay, I want to go back to something. So you said that you used to leverage the ego to get dudes to change. How important is, and I know this is a podcast about God, so I'm going to go there, but how important is the God aspect for true change? Is it that important? Do people do it without him? Or is that essential in your opinion?
So I had a massive transformation without God. It was integrity, character.
Mm-hmm.
That was my God.
You could argue that is God.
Exactly. And that was the voice I listened to, which eventually I realized that voice was God. So there was a transition. I had to have my own humbling because of the way I was brought up. I was so resistant because I didn't, knowing God was in a box and it was a God that I didn't understand and a God that didn't fit into my experience.
Yeah.
So it didn't make sense to me. And then also certain cultural experiences in church and churches made me attach people to God, which then kept me from opening up because, and then there was also the ego in me who didn't want to be perceived as a Jesus guy because Jesus guys are soft and weak and fake and mask wearing happy, fake happy people.
Dude, I can tell you're holding back right now.
So much. Bro.
I'm so appreciative of this.
We should do a redo. We should do a redo with unfiltered. Just like, all right, here's the filter version. Here's the other. Yeah. Here's the other version.
Yeah. Here's the B side to the.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Okay. So you didn't want to be a soft Jesus guy.
Yeah. But I didn't understand Jesus. Like, I didn't understand the story. Like, I didn't know that he was an absolute savage.
Yeah.
Like the ultimate. You know what crossed it over for me?
What?
The movie Braveheart.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, because that is a representation of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And so once I crossed those two over, I was like, Jesus and Braveheart are the same.
Yeah. Like, I love that.
They're the same guy.
He goes and dies and you're like, oh no, he's leaving. How are they going to win? But because of his death, he was so inspiring that the men had a greater cause. Dude, I love that.
Yeah.
That's rad.
Yeah.
That's what's so cool about finding God is it can be through a movie. It can be through a friend. It can be through the freaking beach. It can be through, it's all his.
Yeah.
All things that are good come from him. I love that. Okay. So once again, though, how important to you, when you watch these guys, is it essential or is it not essential for true transformation? I'm really not trying to get to a point. I'm honestly curious because you have so much experience with this.
I'm trying to look at my old view and my new view.
And how new is this new view? Is like
this year? Slowly over the past 12 months.
So this is fresh.
Very fresh.
Okay. How old are you?
43.
I'm 41. Okay.
So it only got me so far. And once I let it in, that was the unquenchable fire that I'm talking about. I had fire. Mm-hmm. I had fire. I was called, but I didn't know it. It was like he was preparing me for this new understanding. I look back now in my life, and anybody can do this, especially if you're leaning into the path. You can look back and see God's hand preparing you for the next level, for the next level, for the next level, for the next level. Mm-hmm. And then you realize that it's just infinite. And so once you understand that, you can sit in the place where you're at now and be like, whatever I'm in right now, how terrible and dark it may seem, how filled with fear that I currently am, this is exactly what I need. And so for true transformation, I knew there had to be truth, honesty, authenticity. And without that, God can't enter the picture. So I think I was still lying for a while. There was still me not letting out completely. But once I became completely authentic, that's when God was able to come in. And then what happened then? Whatever purpose and drive that I had, it was exponentially increased. I asked the universe a year ago.
Yeah, the universe.
Yeah, for greater love for my men. Because I did have this understanding that, like, the more I gave, the more I... This is filtering. This
Dude,
is good.
You have no idea how much I love... How much pain you're going through holding back.
This is good practice for me. Because I'm sure I'll be speaking to some churches at some point.
Yeah, you will.
The more I cared and loved for my people deep inside me, the more impact I had. I could feel it. When I would come in full of love, people would transform. And so I was like asking the universe.
It's not a business, it's a mission, right?
This is a movement, mission. Yeah,
yeah.
This is why I'm broke.
Yeah.
Like, I pour everything back into the movement. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Like, I thought there was something wrong with me because everything that I make, I pour into education or growth in the business or creating a better space for my people. Like, I don't care about anything else. I even have a hard time not letting it go far past my family. That's how obsessed I am about this movement and like how deeply I'm pulled towards it. Like, I have to put systems in place to make sure I look at my wife because I'm so obsessed. She reminds me constantly. But this love I asked for, and when I asked for that love, what I found was I started to fall into this place of like greater pain for the pain that they were in. And I was, and for a while, it depressed me. It actually took me out of power for a little while. And then I realized that what I had asked for, the love I asked for, was given to me in the form of pain. Like, it hurt so bad to watch them hurt. And I was like, that's love. That's the love I was seeking. And when I understood that, and then I started really learning about the story of Jesus and the sacrifice and the intricacies around all of that, like, it was the pain that taught me how it all fit together. And then once I let that in, it was so exponential, my level of care and love. God answered my prayer, even though I didn't even use his name or knew who he was, asking whatever space and time for something.
Wow. That's so rad. I'm so glad. I can feel the fire. I can feel the spirit. I'm so glad that you're in that spot, because it gives me more courage for my mission to keep talking to dudes about this stuff. Thank you for being honest and open in that. I'm finding in my life, like, I was broken during COVID, lowest of my life. I look back at my journal. My old self would be embarrassed to read that out loud because it seems so pitiful. But I'm so grateful for that brokenness and being willing and open. And I had the same thing. Like, I've always been like a church going guy, but just vanilla, like, just like it's cultural. Mm-hmm. And then the fire comes in when I was the most broken. And I remember saying, God, I'm not going to leave you because I believe you're there. And that at that moment, it's not like my life was dramatically better, but I had this, it's like he trusted me. I feel like when he can trust you, he's going to give you a ton of responsibility,
which is directly attached to your willingness. And if you think about it, trust is built by a man who decides to finally change his habits. Because God can't trust somebody who can't put habits in place.
Which is your character, right? Would you say that's your character? Yeah. Character is fate. Character is everything, right?
You create it.
Yeah.
You create it. You it's a building of the man. Mm-hmm. But, and then we talked about that stress threshold, right?
Yeah.
If we have a low stress threshold, we can't be trusted. It's not that you're a bad person.
Right.
Your intentions can be very pure, but if you freak out at the littlest thing, like, God cannot give you much.
No one can give you much.
No
one.
Family
can't give you much.
Family can't, friends can't, job can't. God can't. He wants to.
Yeah.
He wants you to rise.
Yeah.
But until you are a man who can handle some pain, God's not going to give you much responsibility.
Dude, this is the best argument for waking up early,
yes,
going to the gym. Because, like, when I joined Jordan's program, it started with that. Wake up. And you don't know. It's, yeah, I want to be ripped.
Yeah.
Be cool. Yeah. Dude, I want. This sounds
it's
great.
It's a front-end caveman hook, bro.
Dude, but that is the best explanation I've ever heard, is we want to increase the pain threshold so we can be trusted with more to become who we are destined to be. Boom. That is huge. And so that's why I'm up at 5. That's why I go to the gym. That's why I'm reading. That's why I'm practicing gratitude. That's why I'm praying, doing all these things.
The habits built in the physical body create the weapon that's able to serve God's purposes.
Yeah.
And it's a training ground.
So you said you've had visions of the future. What do you see as the outcome of men rising up? How does the world change because of that?
Well, there's macro and micro, right?
Yep.
So if all it did was create a leader in a home that created an environment for God to enter and thrive so that your wife could live her purpose, so that your children could live their purposes. This is interesting to me because Jesus died for us, right? Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know, right? I don't know. But it seems as though we're saved. Like, Jesus died. So he's, I got you. And people are like, what about the people in China who don't say his name? I'm like, he got them.
You didn't say his name.
I didn't say his name.
You didn't say it.
So I'm like, he died for the world and took their sins upon the world. He's like, I got you. Yeah, but I was so bad and I didn't believe in you. He's like, man, no, you don't understand. I already took care of that. Like, okay, well, then why do we need to do anything? And it's because there's joy there and there's purpose and there's creation. Like, all of this is for you to create with me now. Mm-hmm. Come stand next to me and get on the front lines with me. Do you want to be with me in this? What man doesn't say, oh, yeah, I want to get in there with you. Let's go to war.
Dude, it's just follow me, right?
Yeah.
He didn't give the list of all the things. He said, just follow me.
That's it. So now there's this draw of your soul to be like him. And it's, so what are we doing? What are we going to create? Who are we going to help? And he may say, you got some more work to do. Keep working on yourself. Mm-hmm. I've got a job for you.
Dude, he only says deny yourself. Remember that? It's deny yourself and follow me. Mm. It's literally that simple and that complex. Deny, and that's what you're talking about. Denying the ego every day. It's not about me.
Yeah.
And follow me.
I want to go to war with him. Mm-hmm. That is the desire of my heart. And so he's saved or not saved. Okay, what do we do now? I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Let's go. So there's now this charge to help other men see that. Because I can't save them.
No.
They're already saved. But I don't want to sit and do nothing when there's so much to do. And what is that to do? I only understand that when I'm in that place of fire and I can see it, I can feel it, and it makes sense. And then when I start to lose the fire, I start to get confused. And I'm like, I start doubting a little bit. Now, that's why habits are so important. Because if I can become habitual in the things that he's called me to do every single day, regardless of how I feel, mm-hmm. now I'm protected. Now I'm going to rise, no matter what.
Another way to look at that, I agree with you, but someone said it's opening yourself in as many ways possible for God to talk to you, right? God can't talk to you if you feel like crap because you're having to take care of your body, right?
Yeah.
If you're watching porn, he can't talk to you.
There's too much noise.
There's so much noise.
Yeah.
So that's what you're saying is these habits, and I agree with you because it's changed my life in the last year. Freedom. You're opening yourself up to be free, to hear the inspiration, to feel it, to have more love for your fellow man, to be a better father. There's less noise to do this.
Yep. Yeah. And it is crazy how for me and for all of my men, it starts with the physical body, dominating your physical body and like getting the habits in place. And every single man that leans into that and just accepts it and goes all the way, they're just like fully willing to starve themselves out, do workouts when they don't want to, get up early when they're tired. That man ends up finding God and becomes a powerful leader. All of them, every single one of them.
Dude, that seems incredible that you get to do that for a living. Amazing. Okay, I want to give you the final word. There's a lot of men listening out there that know that they need to be more vulnerable, know that they're broken, need a little pep talk, and you are the pep talk king.
I think the last bit of our conversation is so important.
Okay. Like
basic daily habits. Get up early. Get your macronutrients dialed in. It's the best way. Carbs, fats, proteins. Stick with that. And make sure you're getting your workouts in every day. That's number one. Number two, I'm obviously talking to dads, usually married men. Stop being closed off to your wife. Stop treating her terrible. Stop defending yourself. Stop attacking. And get past the crust that's just like that wall between you and your wife, that resentment that you build up. You have to go look her in the eyes. You have to hug her. You got to tell her you love her. You have to appreciate her. Like those two things will open you up to God. For many years, when I tried to see God, he would show me my wife. And I thought my wife was my God for a while because it's all I saw. When I tried to see God, I saw my wife. What he was showing me, this was the path to me. And so until I opened myself up completely to her and stopped fighting her all the time, I couldn't see past her. So those are literally my two pieces of advice for men. Right now, if you're listening to this, go find your wife and go tell her how much you love her. Give her a hug and look her deep in her soul and just give her all of you. Show her your heart. I know it's making you nervous and sweat. I know it. I get it.
That's what you do.
Yep.
Okay, Kyle, thank you so much. I know this will help some men out there, some families heal, and you're doing really important work. So, dude, my heart is just super grateful for you. Love you, brother.
Love you too.
If you like this episode, I'd be so grateful if you wrote a review and shared this episode with a friend. And if you're looking for more ways to include God throughout your day, check out some of my recent music I created in partnership with Skylight. These tracks are designed to bring peace, calm, and healing. I'm going to play one of my tracks right now, and you can also listen to more from the link in the show notes.